Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moen for December 10th, 2018.
Well, good morning, fellow pilgrims. What a delight to be with you on this Monday morning, as we are in what is called in church liturgy the Advent season. As we take the first four or five Sundays before Christmas and remember all of the things that preceded the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby in Bethlehem. And I want to take some time today to talk a bit about the Advent season, and I want to begin. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture, but I think it's important that as we approach this Advent season and as we really begin to understand the world and its expectation is what Advent is all about, and to help us come into this season and really rejoice our preparation. So my reading begins in Luke, chapter 2. Here it goes. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Aren't these familiar texts? But remember, in the prophet Micah, hundreds of years before, he had prophesied that the city of Bethlehem would indeed be the place where a Messiah would come. And now it's being fulfilled. Let's also remember, and I want to just go back here and read from the book of Isaiah again, from Isaiah chapter 7. See here, I'm turning to it right now. It says in chapter 7, verse 14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. And you know that Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, it says in verse 6, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now, when we talk about this Advent season then, and when we talk about when I read about the census, can you imagine the upheaval in the city, in the, not only the city of Bethlehem, but all throughout the Roman Empire? The little thing that I kind of want to bring to your attention is, I'm sure that Caesar really felt he must be somebody. He can cause a census, for the whole inhabited earth, and everything is in flux and people moving around, and he's the man who did it. And then Cyrenius was the governor of Syria, and everybody was going to register for the census, everyone to his or her own city. And they really thought this was a tremendous thing. Can you imagine being alive in those days, being perhaps a part of the Roman Empire, and hearing this coming from Augustus? And, oh, my goodness, can you imagine the quote, motel and hotel problems and difficulties and moving and my. My whole point in emphasizing that is, do you know the real purpose behind that seemingly important event? It was to fulfill a 700-year-old prophecy and move a pregnant girl and her husband 50 kilometers to fulfill a word of God that had been spoken 700 years before. Let me tell you, that's magnificent. And it makes me realize that what we want to do when we see the kinds of things that are going on in our world today, cataclysmic things and wars and rumors of wars and betrayals and politics and difficulty and all sorts of things going on, I'm asking the Holy Spirit during this Advent season for us to remember that the world was in an uproar at the time of Jesus' birth. And the most important thing went unnoticed by, quote, the press of that day or the news of that day, which seemed so important at the time. Well, there's a lot of that going on today, but I want you to know that underneath all of these so-called important press things and bulletins that come every single day, God is moving by His Spirit. He is moving all over this world. And I pray that we be tuned in this Advent season to hearing the voice of God and not having it drowned out by all of the seemingly important public and governmental affairs. Let me tell you, God is moving. I believe He is fulfilling that verse from Matthew that I've quoted so many times about the parousia, or the second coming of Jesus, where Jesus tells them this. He says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached to the whole world, and then the end will come. And I believe there is a tremendous renewal, revival, whatever you want to call it, of the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Not the truncated gospels that we've talked about before, which are to be born again, which is good, to be filled with the Spirit, which is good, but it misses the primary reason Jesus came, was to be Savior, Lord, Redeemer, Healer, and author of the kingdom of God on earth, the unchangeable person and the unshakable kingdom. Now, as we continue talking about the Advent, I want us to remember that it's not so much what's going on in the world that draws so much of the world's attention. It's what the Holy Spirit is doing. And as we remember the Advent season and all of the things that led up to it and the birth of our Lord, remember in Luke it says that that when the angel came to Mary, it says, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will have no end. And he will come as a savior of the people. What I want to recall now is a little of the time preceding the birth of Jesus. I think it's part of our whole Advent understanding this year. Going back to the first chapter of Luke, if you'll recall, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, was a priest. And he was, according to the custom, chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And while the whole multitude of the people were in prayer, offering incense offering, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the altar. And Zacharias was troubled, and fear gripped him. The angel said, don't be afraid, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many from the sons of Israel. That goes on to tell him more, that he is a Gabriel and all of that. And behold, you shall be silent, that's Zacharias, and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you didn't believe my words, which shall be fulfilled at the proper time. And the people were waiting, you remember, for Zacharias to come out. He finally came out and he was making signs, and he remained a mute. And after he completed his priestly service, he went home. And in verse 24, it says, "And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, 'This is the way the Lord has dealt with me when he looked with favor upon me, to take away my disgrace among men.'" Now, it's important for us to understand, she was an old woman beyond childbearing age. So this is a miraculous conception also. And then, of course, in the next verse, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee to a virgin engaged to the man whose name was Joseph." Ah, you know all that. And he comes and says, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." So John the Baptist is about 6 months in the womb of Elizabeth when the conception takes place with Mary. And I want to read now further in Luke chapter 1, as the angel speaks to Mary and says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now, at that time, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill country, to the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what the Lord had spoken to her." Now that's a prophetic word that came under the anointing of the Spirit to this older woman now, who had been barren beyond the age of childbearing. And all of this happens. And then we read Luke's beautiful response of Mary the Magnificat. I'm not going to read that right now. I want to go to the end of it, because Mary stays with Elizabeth about 3 months. And that means that Jesus is probably about 6 months John the Baptist's junior. And that's kind of important. But I want to pick it up in Luke 1 again, now in the 57th verse. "Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it came about that on the eighth day, when they came to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. And his mother answered and said, 'No, indeed, but he shall be called John.' And they said to her, 'There's no one among your relatives who's called by that name.' And they made signs to his father as to what he was to be called, and he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, 'His name is John.' And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak the praise of God. And fear came on all of those around them. And all these matters were talked about in the hill country of Judea. And all who heard them kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be? For certainly the Lord's hand is upon him." And then it says, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. And that's many verses that I'm not going to read. But at the end of it, he says, "To guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and to become strong in the spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Now, I read all of that because it's part of the Advent. It's part of the preparation for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world. And that Advent, which was not seen by all the fuss and movement that was going around because Julius or Caesar had said, you know, we've got to have a census taken. And the news that was big at that day wasn't the real news that was eternal. Dear brothers and sisters, as we go through this Advent season, go back and read the prophecies concerning the coming of Jesus. Go back and read about Micah telling us he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Go back and read again Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary. And all of that is preparation so that we can celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Christmas and all of the gift giving, which can become perverted, need not be perverted. That gift giving is just a way that we say the greatest gift that God could ever give humankind has come, and his name is Jesus. He is the Christ of God, and the gifts that we give are pictures of his gift to us. Do you remember this song that we often sing in the Advent? And I want to close the podcast with, I'm not singing it, don't worry, but I'm going to kind of hum it a little, and it goes like this. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. That's the Advent that was going on then. Emmanuel was coming to earth. The promises, the prophetic words that had been given were being fulfilled in this day and time. And as we go through Advent season, let that whole thing rehearse itself in your spirit. The second verse says, O come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thy advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. The gloomy deeds of the night. Doesn't that sound like the news of the day? Well, let the Holy Spirit come in this Advent season and blow that away as we rejoice at the coming of Emmanuel. And then finally, the third verse, O come, desire of nations, bind all peoples in one heart and mind, bid envy, strife, and discord cease, fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Well, it's not just Israel, it's to the United States of America. It's to Europe, it's to Asia, it's to South America, it's to everywhere, everywhere, all the time. Emmanuel is with us. And let this Advent season be a brand new experience as you rehearse again the callings of God 700 years, O little town of Bethlehem, the first Noel, joy to the world. Let these be inbreathed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. And may he be born again and refreshed in you through this Advent season. Enjoy, dear brother, dear sister. Bless one another. May your gifts reflect your reflection, your attitude, your way of saying thank you, Jesus. Giving gifts is a way of saying, I've received the greatest gift of all, that baby in the manger. Thank you, Jesus. God bless my brothers and sisters in this Advent time. Amen and amen.
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.